2 Chronicles chapter 14. The Bible says in verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers. So they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was right, good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. Very important. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 200 and 80,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Marishah. And then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them over Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and return to Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and a time when Asa has now become king. His father, if you look, it says that Abijah slept with his fathers, and that was Asa's dad. And if you go back and you look in the prior chapter, you'll find that even Abijah loved the Lord. You'll find that he wanted to do what was right. We're in a time of a divided kingdom. Judah is one kingdom, Israel is another. There's true tribes that have stayed true to God, Judah and Benjamin, and the 10 northern tribes, and that went with Jeroboam and his way, and that with idol worship. And so we find that as we look back, and we find in verse 12, as they're going out to fight, chapter 13, you'll find as they were going out to fight that Abijah, Asa's dad, said this, behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests were sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. Now he's the king of Judah, and he's telling the children of Israel this time, don't fight against us because you're not going to prosper. And so we come over into Asa's day, and Asa and that has become king. And I tell you what, we find right here that I believe that Asa knew something about the Lord. I believe he'd been raised enough in a home to where he knew something about God. But I want to preach this morning, having just a minute or two, on a thought of when we need some help. Sometimes I sound like a broken record preaching on certain subjects, but I've learned something, that I need God's help every day. Can I tell you that you need God's help every day? If you look in verse 11, here's what Asa Jesus said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power, help us. And if I had a thought this morning, it would be on when we need some help. Ain't you glad today that the Lord is our help? Psalms chapter 46, the psalmist David said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, in trouble. Listen, I'm glad today He is my help. You know what that word help means? It means to aid or to assist or to lend strength to. It means to relieve. If I asked you today, how many of you can live your life on your own without any help? And if you raised your hand, I'd say you's a fool and you're crazy. You can't do it. John 15 and 5, the latter part, Jesus told His disciples when He is talking about Him being the vine or Him being the husband, them the vine, He said, look, He said, for without me, you can do nothing. Hey, we got to get that in our mind and in our heart that, hey, we can't do nothing without Him. We can't succeed. We can't prosper. We can't win folk to Him. We can't do anything without His help this morning. Amen. Thank God for His help. Number one, when we need some help, I want us to look right here. First of all, the Asa's dedication to the Lord. When we read the first, about the first 7 or 8 verses, we find out that Asa done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, I want you to look. Now, I know that Abijah, I know that his dad loved God. I believe that he did. But we find that in the nation of Judah, there was still some idol worship going on, wasn't there? I want you to look at what the Scripture said. It said, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Ain't that a good testimony this morning? Hey, listen, if heaven rolled back and I wrote some Scripture about you, could it say that you done that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord this morning? Hey, what's God say about? Hey, I am concerned about what God thinks about me this morning. I really don't care what you think. If you want to know the truth, I really don't care. But I do care what the book says about me. And I do care what God thinks about me. Amen. Like I say, you shouldn't really be concerned about what I think about you as long as you're trying to please the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. A lot of people want to please the preacher. Hey, quit trying to please the preacher and please the Lord this morning. Amen. And let me say this, that if you're pleasing the Lord, it'll please me. Amen. Or there's something wrong with me this morning. Amen. But listen, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible said that he took away some altars and strange gods and high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. So there was obviously and that some idol worship still going on in the land of Judah. And so Asa, he decides, listen, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to dedicate myself unto the Lord. And then not only did he take away and that all the images and cut down the groves, but then the Bible said commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Not only was he going to live right, but he was going to have everybody else living right too. Amen. Man, I wish we had some leaders that would do that. Man, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if they got on TV and said, hey, as a nation, we need to be seeking God. Amen. Hey, they've got so cowed down and afraid of everybody and everything else. Got afraid of the liberals. I got afraid of it. Hey, they're just afraid. Amen. Amen. Afraid what's going to happen if they mention God or mention Jesus. Hey, listen, this morning, I think they ought to. I really do. Do you think it's going to happen? Probably not. But I think they ought to. Amen. Yeah. Hey, we need some leaders that love God and know God and want to serve God. But not only that, hey, we need some folk in this world, in the church that's going to love God and serve God and seek God. He said, look, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. And then not only seek Him. Hey, when's the last time you sought Him? Amen. I'm talking about see. Hey, when you're seeking something, you're trying to find something. Whether you're trying to find Him
There's a lot of sinners out there this morning that's lost that need to seek Him. And the Bible says if you'll seek Him, He'll be found of you today. I believe when somebody realizes they're lost, I believe if they can realize their need of salvation, I believe they can seek Him and they'll find Him this morning. Are you listening? Listen, I believe if you'll seek Him, you'll find Him this morning. Hey, the Bible said, call upon the Lord while He's near. Seek Him while He can be found. Amen. Listen, there's going to come a day when you're going to try to seek Him and you can't find the Lord. Amen. Hey, lost folk are going to try to seek Him one day. Read Proverbs chapter 1 over there. Listen, the Bible said they're going to call on Him in the day of their calamity and He's not going to be found among them. Amen. But He not only commanded the nation of Judah and that to seek the Lord. Let me encourage you to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in every avenue and everything that's going on in your life. Every decision you've got to make, seek Him. You say, well, I know the right way. That's good. I'm glad you know the right way. This book gives us the right way. Seek Him. Say, Lord, here's the way I need to go. I think I need to go. Is this it? And a lot of times if I don't hear no, then I'll kick her in gear and we'll keep on rolling. Amen. Not all the time do I hear yes. You ever heard no? You won't hear no if you don't ask a lot of times. Amen. Can I tell you though, there's sometimes I don't even have to ask about nothing. I already know it ain't right. Amen. You can read your Bible. If you can't read, we'll read it for you. Amen. Yeah, amen. So I tell people over at the nursing home, we'll get you on CD or something, and we'll get it read to you. But listen, sometimes you don't even have to ask the Lord. I mean, it's spelled out so plain in His book. You don't have to ask Him about that. But anyway, not only did He command the people and that to seek the Lord, and so I encourage you to seek the Lord in every avenue, but He said to do the law and the commandment. So to keep His word. Not only to seek the Lord, but then to do His word. How much of us is doing that? How many of us is doing that? Seeking Him, but then keeping His word. I believe that goes together. We're going to see some more tonight in Scripture as we preach tonight. Hey, listen, the only way that you're going to be able to please the Lord is to seek His will in your life. That's it. And it only comes out of this book right here. Listen, not only did He command them and that to seek the Lord and then to do what? To keep His law and His commandment. But not only did He take away just all that stuff out of the city of Judah, but then He began to take it all out of the cities of Judah. In other words, He not only started down in Jerusalem where everything was going south. In other words, where all the idol worship was. There was idol worship there. But then He branched out and all through Judah, He began to get rid of everything. Listen, we start sometimes on what people can see. Amen? Right, come on. But then we need to start working on that stuff that people can't see. We got to branch out in our life to take care of some things. Listen, there's some stuff that gets in our life that nobody else knows about. There's some sin. Maybe there's some bitterness. Maybe there's some hatefulness. Maybe there's some malice in there that's hidden. By the way, you leave it in there long enough, it'll come out. It'll come out. It'll jump out on you one day. Man, I have to guard myself about so much, friend, because I know how I am. And lest I forget how I know how I am, something bad's going to happen. I know me. You don't know me. But I know me. I know how vile I am. I know how wretched I am. I know what I am today. And I'm glad to be saved. Amen. But He took away the high places and the images, not only out of just starting in the land of Jerusalem, down in the land of Judah, but all the cities of Judah. He began to remove all that stuff. Not only was He taking care of things in His life, but He was beginning to take care of things in His wife's life. He was taking care of things in His children's life. Oh, boy, ain't that exciting. He's beginning to not only set His life right, but He's making His family right. Are you catching on this morning? Huh? Huh? You mamas, you get some things straightened out, and then you need to start straightening out your young ones too. Mm-hmm. While you're at it. Hey, God's going to require some things if you stand at that judgment. He's going to require it now, and He's going to require it then.
That's right.
Hello?
Right.
Well, that's good. And, hey, listen, it got a little quieter. I was talking to a preacher the other day. I went and visited with him. He's about 90 years old. And me and him was a-talking. And he said, they told me one day, he said, I had some deacons. And he said, they kept telling me, preacher, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. And he said, I'd heard that and heard that. And he said, I was telling it like it was. But he said, one Sunday morning, I got up and I told it like it was. And he said, I got over and I was preaching on everything. And he said, I got to preaching on them cigarettes. Yeah. About how that you're smoking and making your wife smoke them and your daughter smoke them and your son smoke them and all these things you've done to your testimony and all these things. And he said, them two deacons that was telling me to tell it like it was, they went.
Yeah.
Huh? It ain't me telling you like it is. It's that book telling you.
Amen.
That's why folk don't like it to me. Anyway, let me move on. We've done dug a hole. If you're going over into 2 Chronicles chapter 15, you'll find out that not only did he take away in that all those things out of the city of Judah and out of the cities of Judah, but he got rid of his mother, the queen. She was an idol worshiper, and you'll find out that he removed her. Hey, listen, he didn't care if it was his own mama. He was going to make things in that right with God. Hey, I don't care if it's your own family that's hindering you from serving God. You serve God this morning. I love my mom and I love my dad, but I'm going to tell you, when I started preaching, I honestly believe to this day that this ain't the avenue that it chose for me. Listen, they pray for me every day. I'm just telling you how I think. They may tell me one day that that's different. I don't want you to think nothing bad about my mom and dad, nor none of those things. I'm just saying, I believe they'd have had a different path, a different avenue for me. Hey, but listen, they never hindered me. They never held me up. They encouraged me along the way.
Amen.
You know, some people, some moms and dads will hinder their children from serving God. Don't ever hinder your children from serving God. Don't ever do that. But you know what? He wasn't going to do anything to stand in the way of him serving God. He removed his own mother and that from being queen. Hey, but then you know what the Bible said? It says something very interesting down here. And the Bible said in verse 5, it said that he took away all these things and the kingdom was quiet before him. If you go on down in verse 6, you'll find out that he built all them cities for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Listen, when you set some things right in your life and get it right and you want to serve God, you know what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 16? That when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Does that mean we're not going to have fights along the way? And that's not what it's saying. But listen, I believe that he had rest right here. He was without war during this time because everything that he done, and that pleased God. He said, well, everything that Job done pleased God. And boy, the devil showed up. Just hold on a minute. So God gave him some rest. You know the reason there may be turmoil in your home? You ain't right with God. Now listen, the devil wants to destroy homes and he's going to start driving wedges. And you got to understand that stuff. You got to see that coming. He'll drive wedges between mom and daddy. He'll drive wedges between husband and wife. He'll drive wedges between children and mom and between children and dad. And I mean, he just drives wedges everywhere that he can. And you got to see that stuff. Well, I believe today that if you'd set some things right and get some things right in the home, I believe it would give you some rest and get the turmoil kicked out the door. And so we find right here that God gave him some rest. And not only did God give him some rest, but I believe that he gave him the ability to be vigilant. Because if you go on down through here, the Bible said in verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them the walls, the towers, the gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God and have sought him, and we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. Not only did he build the cities, not only did he fortify the cities, but he made himself an army in verse 8. Well, if he's at rest, then why did he need an army? Why did he need fenced cities? Why did he need to bar them up? Hey, he realized that there was coming a time when the enemy was going to come. He knew that. He was getting prepared for the enemy. Can I tell you today? Now, at least I'm talking about his dedication. He got dedicated not only in that to the Lord, but he got dedicated in that to figure out how to fight.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, you better, while you're getting dedicated unto the Lord, you better realize that when you start setting things right, and I've told you this a million times, when you set things right in your life and you set things right at home, you know what's going to happen? The enemy's going to show up. Why is it for some of y'all that just hit and miss and hit and miss all them times that you've decided, hey, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to go. I'm going to try to get to Sunday school. I'm going to try to... Why is it all of a sudden all these problems show up? Why, it's just the enemy. It's just the enemy coming. He's just beating on you to try to get you undedicated to the Lord. So we find that he gets dedicated to the Lord. He sets everything right, not only in the city of Jerusalem, in Judah. He sets them right in the cities of Judah. He builds his army. He builds his cities. And for 10 years, God gave him rest. He took advantage of the time that he had. You better take advantage of the time you've got to study and read your Bible.
Amen.
Because there comes times when your mind is not going to comprehend, your mind is going to be somewhere else because you're fighting a battle. I'm not saying God can't help you. I ain't saying it. I'm just saying when you've got peace of mind and peace of heart, man, you better take advantage of it.
That's right.
You better read it. You better study it. You better seek God. You better do those things. You better get dedicated to the Lord. Because now imagine if he wasn't dedicated to the Lord. And then the enemy came. Imagine if he hadn't been vigilant. Why do you think the Bible tells us to be sober and be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, is roaring on one of us seeking whom he made of our... Hey, if we were not sober and vigilant and knew that he was coming, we'd be destroyed, wouldn't we?
Right.
So he's dedicated unto the Lord. You ought to be building walls around your house. And around your family. You ought to be training them. He's trained himself an army. Train your children how to fight spiritually. I'm saying you may have to learn how to fight spiritually first. But train them how to fight spiritually. Because you know what? There's coming a day, even this little one right here is going to leave home one day after a while. You're going to get up one day. We're all, hey, listen, I've turned around and I'm not old, but I sure ain't as young as I used to be. It seems like yesterday we was talking about graduation and we went and watched my nephew graduate from high school yesterday morning. And I can remember that day. When me and Kelly graduated, as a matter of fact, when we left and went to town to get us something to eat, we talked about what we done after our graduation when we graduated high school. And before you turn around, you know what happens? You begin to get gray in your hair. Some of you's color it out or cut it out. It's okay. Just remember, it's all vanity.
Amen.
Amen. I told you the other day what I was thinking about doing, taking a little Sharpie marker. Why do you think I keep my hair cut so short? Huh? The longer I let it grow, the more gray hair I got. Huh? So you just keep her peeled off and it don't show up as bad. But you know what happens? We turn around and we've got older, and your youngins grow up, and before you know it, they're leaving home. Hey, one of the best things that you can do is make sure they're saved, make sure they know Jesus, and teach them how to fight against the enemy. Amen. Speaking about the enemy, here he comes, number two. Not only is he dedicated to the Lord, now he's building an army. And the Bible says that he's building an army, first of all, of 300,000 men. He's building an army there in, let's see if I can find in verse 8, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 240,000. So 280,000. So he's got an army. It's got 580,000 men in it. Men that are mighty in valor. In other words, they were brave. They didn't care to fight. They didn't care to fight. I like to watch a good fight. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Jeff was, he called me one day and he was out there buying the tables for the fellowship hall. And he was telling me about a little problem that they had there at the Lowe's. And I was sitting in the study getting ready. I was studying some stuff. Had I not been studying, I'd have been out there. I was ready for a fight. I like a good fight sometimes. But if you look right here, he was outnumbered. Do you see? He's almost outnumbered 2-1. 1,000,000 is a million. Write it down. 1,000,000 is a million. And he's got 300 and that are on chariots. So he's got 580,000 that's going to face 1,000,000 and 300. Now, odds don't sound too good, does it? I want you to look at the enemy. Do you realize that? Now, always know. Always know and be for sure the enemy's coming. You may have a time of rest. Hey, listen, Jesus met with the devil over there in the wilderness after his baptism for 40 days. He fasted. He was tempted during them 40 days according to the book of Luke. At the end of those 40 days, he was still tempted in that of Satan. And when it was all said and done, the Bible said that Satan left him for a season. So you need to realize the enemy is out there. He works on your mind. He works on your heart. He works on your family. He works on this church. He works on your preacher. He works on you. And if you ain't careful, you'll give in to him. And when you give in to him, it just ruins things. But I want you to look about this enemy. I thought about this after I'd read it and I'd about got everything laid out the way that I thought the Lord would want us to have it. And I come back and I looked at this enemy. And the Bible said, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian. If I've done my study correctly, this is the only time in the Bible that you find Zerah, the Ethiopian, mentioned. This is the only time that you find that this is an enemy that comes against Judah by this name. If he had said the Philistines, I'd have said, well, that's just normal. The Ammonites, the Moabites, that's just normal. But here, all of a sudden, we find a new enemy, and that named Zerah, the Ethiopian. Don't find much about that person in the Bible, but we do know that they had an army. Amen. And we do know that he come and that to take over the nation of Judah. Now, the devil's always the same, but you know, every now and again, he'll come at you with something new.
Amen.
He'll come at you with something new. You, a lot of times, listen, we think we've got everything whipped. We think that we can take on the devil with a water pistol and holler boo at him. Friend, hey, man, you need to realize we can't do that. But this enemy right here is a new enemy. And so sometimes he begins to, them old thoughts that he's put in your mind ain't worked. And so he begins to put new thoughts in your mind. He begins to put new temptations out there in front of you. If I can't get you with this, then I'll try it this way. Men, if he can't get you with women, he might try the liquor bottle. He might try something else. Hey, ladies, if he can't get you with another man, he just might get you some other way.
Amen. Come on.
Got to guard yourself. Might try to get you with money.
Try.
Money scares me to death. I'll be honest with you, it does. I've seen what money does to people.
Yeah, come on.
I've seen what adultery does. I've seen what all those sins do. Hey, listen, all those things scare me. Every one of them does. I talked to a fella the other day, and he was telling me that he teaches a Sunday school class, and at the beginning of the Sunday school class, they always take prayer requests. And he said, I noticed one of the ladies in my Sunday school class, he teaches a little bit younger than my age, probably through the 30s. And he said, I noticed she'd been requesting prayer for a friend. For about a month and a half, she'd been requesting prayer for about a friend. And he said, so when I got done one day, he said, reckon she come to him and said, reckon you can help me get somebody in over at Miracle Lake. And if you know what Miracle Lake is right over here in Etowah, You know, that's a drug rehabilitation center. And he said, yeah. Said, I could probably make the necessary arrangements for somebody to get in there. And, or at least make a phone call. And she said, well, you might even know who it is that I'm trying to help. He said, you don't have to tell me. So she told him the name. And it was a preacher that me and him both knew. And he said, is this the same preacher, and called him by name, that has pastored this church here? And he said, yeah. She said, yes. And pastored this church, yes. And said, used to work here, yeah. And so now they're trying to get him into a drug rehabilitation center. And this same feller that he talked about, and I got to be careful right here, but I've stood on the streets with him and preached many times. As a matter of fact, he has stood right here years ago. Stood right here and preached. Some of you are trying to think about who it is, and I ain't going to tell you. But he stood right here and he's preached for us years ago. And I remember talking to him a long, long time ago about pastoring. And I began to think about it, and I knew his life was headed downhill. Him and his wife had got a divorce and all these things. And I mean, it may not be the fellow that you're thinking about, by the way. So, him and his wife had got a divorce, and I knew all this, and I didn't know that he'd went that far. But I know that years ago, when I just first come here, he was fighting discouragement. Discouragement. And see what happened? We went from... Are you saying that was the only... I'm not saying that was the only thing, but I do know this, that I think discouragement played a great big part in it. And so the enemy, he uses everything and every avenue that he can to get you to fail. Whether it's discouragement, whether it's depression, whether it's sin, my soul, look at what time it is. But the enemy. And so here he goes. He didn't cry. He didn't turn to go away. In verse 10, Asa went out against him and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. I want you to look at what he done. He goes out to fight. He didn't turn and run. But the Bible said, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. He didn't look back at the fenced cities. He didn't look at his army and say, I believe we can take them. I believe we can win. I believe we've got it. The very first thing that he done is when he went into battle is he cried to the Lord. And here's what he said. He said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. He said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help us. I mean, he's the one that created it all. He's the one that sat in heaven and reached back on nothing. And you know what he done? He spun us into existence. And we sat down and we cried and we weep when the battle comes on, or when decisions comes and situations come. And I know how we are. And I'm putting us there. And we wonder if God's deserted us and forsook us when them hard... Hey, listen, he just cried in the Lord. He said, it's nothing with you to help me. It's nothing. Can I tell you, no matter how spiritual you think you are, you ain't going to be able to handle this thing on your own. You can't handle your family. I can't get away from that. When I studied this, I couldn't get away from the thought of people are trying to handle the problems in their family and trying to handle the problems in their marriage, and that without crying out to God. You cannot handle them on your own. You can't do it. It ain't going to work. It'll fail every time. He would have failed miserably if he would have went out there on his own. You can't handle your job on your own. I can't handle this church on my own.
Amen.
I can't preach on my own. I come back to John 15:5. Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Hey, I'm beginning to think some people want to do nothing. I'm beginning to think you're satisfied to let things fail and go down the road the way they are. I'm not satisfied with that. I'd rather have the help of the Lord. So he cries out to the Lord and said, Lord, it's nothing with you to help me. It's nothing with you to help us. You got all the power in the world. And I love what he said right here. He said, whether with many or with them that have no power, it don't matter. I believe he knew the stories of King David and David's great army. David's great army would go out and battle and fight and would win. But I believe that he remembered the story of Gideon, where Gideon took 300 men down there and defeated the Midianites. I believe he knew the story of David and Goliath, where David went out there on his own when all of Israel and that was afraid to go out there. He remembered, hey, he knew whether we had many or whether we had few. Hey, listen, God could come through. Could help. I'm glad the Lord helps. He remembers what we are. The Bible said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. He knows what we are. He knows that we need help. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll let you fail too if you won't call out to him. He'll let you fail every time. You remember when the children of Israel had sin in the camp over there? Remember God told them when they went into Jericho, said, don't take anything out of there. Don't take anything. What did Achan do? Achan took that gold and silver and that goodly Babylonian garment and he buried them over there in his tent. Thought he hid everything from God. You can't hide nothing from God.
Right.
You need to remember that. And so the Bible said that they were going to go up and fight against Ai, and they go up to fight against Ai. It's just going to take a little bit with them. Hey, we can defeat them. We can take them. And when they get up, our Ai kills some of them and puts them on the run. We can't go in our own strength and our own power. So here we are. He said, you can help whether with many or with them that have no power. Can I tell you, you may think that you're the most spiritual person in the world, but you still know, you may be the most spiritual person in the world. You may not only think that, you may know that. And by the way, if you really think that, then you're not the most spiritual person in the world.
That's right.
Because there's going to be some humility somewhere.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The most spiritual people I think that they're nothing. So he needed his help. And he said, Lord, we just need your help. He said, just help us. Just help us. If you want to get down to the bottom of it today, we're just a people who needs help. And I get so tired of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need some help here. And I need some help there. And I need some help. And these folk over here need help. I pray that the Lord helps you every day. I do. I pray that the Lord helps you. Because you know why? You may not think you need help, but I do know you need help. I know that I need help. I mean, I know that I need help. And so he said, Lord, just help us. And then he says this. And we find number four, the faith that he had in the Lord. He said this, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. We're asking for help, but we're just going to rest on you. Now I thought that's pretty good words right there. We're just going to rest. Lord, he didn't say, Lord, we're going to count on you. He didn't say, we're going to look for you. He said, we're just going to rest on you. You know what that means? They didn't have no worries. They didn't worry about that thing. They made their prayer to the Lord, said, Lord, we've done what we know to do. We've set everything right. We've dedicated our home to you. I've dedicated myself to you. I've dedicated my whole life to you. I've sold out to you. And I don't think I'm going to get in the middle of a fight now and you're going to let me down. Boy, I could have just said that a few minutes ago and give the altar call, couldn't I? How many of us have done that? Sold out. And said, Lord, you know what will make your home better selling out? You know what will make his church better selling out? Selling out to him. But rest. He said, Lord, we're just going to rest on you. Our confidence is in you because we're dependent on you. And Lord, I believe that you can do it. Can I tell you that, friend, if you would just let him lead you and guide you, you'll find rest. What did Psalms 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I've got confidence in him. I have found rest in him. Can I ask you, have you found rest in him? If you're lost, you can't find no rest without him. Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, if you're unsaved this morning, you have no rest. Hey, I'm talking about spiritual rest. I'm talking about that spiritual rest that gives you peace and joy on the inside. Hey, listen, you can find it in the Lord today. But you know where me and you find rest at? In service. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. You find rest in salvation, but then the child of God finds rest in service. And so we find that, you know what he done? He went out to fight. He didn't cry to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I've dedicated my life to you. Why are all these things happening? He didn't say, Lord, I don't want to fight. He went out and he fought. Let me ask you, have you dedicated your life to the Lord today? Have you sold out to him? Sold out your family to him? You may be unsaved today and you have no rest. Why don't you come to the Lord and he can give you some. Let's bow our heads this morning as we get a verse of invitation. And by the way, the Lord did deliver. The Lord did deliver. So how about it this morning? You may need some help. You say, preacher, you just don't know everything I'm facing. I probably don't know. I don't know a lot this morning about what goes on in your all's lives. I really don't, not unless you tell me. I really don't know. But I do know this, that me and you are all the same people. And we need help from the Lord. And you, some of you just need to admit that this morning and quit trying to fight these battles on your own and set some things in order in your life and then let the Lord help you fight. And you can find some rest when you help, let him help you. You can find some rest. Maybe you've never been saved. You can find rest today by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.